Good evening, Holden Village. Welcome to Eucharist. My name is Chuck. My Peg and I serve the village as directors. I love the energy in here. I love this room when it's filled. But I also know that there's a lot of you going out tomorrow. So I'd like you to stand for a blessing, because we'd like to send you with that blessing. So if you're leaving, please stand. May the Holy One who created you from words and dust and called you good inhabit your every hunger, dwell in each desire, and encompass you in all the choices that lie ahead. Thank you for being with us at Holden and sharing this special place with us. It's better because of you. Thanks.
Well, good evening, everyone. My name is Melinda. I serve here as a member of this community and as pastor, and I welcome you to worship this evening. There's no formal liturgy tonight, other than just kind of a flow of music and songs from both you and a choir and musicians. It's going to be great. Readings, prayers, and a little bit of a sermon. Please know that all are invited to participate in communion. Jesus did not get real restrictive with who he ate with and who he did not, and so we don't either. Whatever your background is, please know that you're welcome to this table. I'll be giving more instructions about how we do communion here when it gets closer, but most importantly, I just want you to know that you're welcome to the table. And even if you're not sure about all the practices of communion, even if you want to just participate, you're not sure about taking the bread and wine, you can just come up with your arms kind of crossed over your chest, and that'll just let me know to give you a blessing. And I would be glad to do that as well if that's more comfortable for you. But as always, you're welcome just to remain seated right where you are. A lot of the music will be taught by Linda Breitag today, which we give thanks for. She and Vicky have been working with a choir today. We give thanks for you. Some of the stuff will be in your hymn books, and we'll tell you to turn to pages when that happens. But with that, I think we're ready to enter into this time of worship, giving thanks for this holy community and the way that we are shaped and transformed by it.
I believe that most of the people here, we have the choir that just learned it, and most of the people in the village before have learned from every tribe and every nation. So I will remind you of what it is, and then we're going to do a, what did you call it, canon-ish? I don't know. But where?
Echo.
Not ish. We'll do so. Okay, let's learn it first, and then I'll do the double. I don't want to confuse you. Sorry, I just did. Okay.
Thank you. I've done it before. So.
Okay. So it goes, come from every tribe and every nation, from every people and every tongue, from every corner. Comes a new song that must be sung from every tribe and every nation.
Peace. The grace of Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, the strength of all who hope in you, because we are ever growing, never perfect, it can be difficult to accomplish anything good without you. Help us to see and understand the things we ought to do, and give us grace and power to do them through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen. At this time, we hear from our Holy Scriptures.
The first reading is from the book, the Wisdom Book of Sirach. If you choose, you can keep the commandments, and to act faithfully is a matter of your own choice. The Lord has placed before you fire and water. Stretch out your hand for whichever you choose. Before each person are life and death, and whichever one chooses will be given. For great is the wisdom of the Lord. The Lord is mighty in power and sees everything. The eyes of the Lord are on the God-fearing, and the Lord knows every human action. The Lord has not commanded anyone to be wicked and has not given anyone permission to sin. The second reading is from Psalm 119. Happy are they whose way is blameless, who follow the teaching of the Lord. Happy are they who observe your decrees and seek you with all their hearts, who never do any wrong but always walk in your ways. You lay down your commandments that we should fully keep them. Oh, that my ways were made so direct that I might keep your statutes. Then I should not be put to shame when I regard all your commandments. I will thank you with a true heart when I have learned your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. Holy wisdom, holy word.
This is a song called You Who Do Justice. And the words are, you who do justice shall live on the holy mountain of God. So that's your whole part. And it's going to be like this. You who do justice. Was that it? Okay. You who do justice shall live on the holy mountain of God. Try that.
You who do justice shall live on the holy mountain of God. You who do justice shall live on the holy mountain of God.
Okay, we're going to do it antiphonally, so that when this half and this half, when this half begins, live on the holy mountain of you. Got it? So, let's do it. And then there's verses. I'll take care of this. Okay. Give me a couple.
Thank you.
stay standing, because we're going to read the gospel. If you want to sit there, then my back will be to you. All right, this is the Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 5th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill. You have heard it said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder,' and 'Whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering a gift at the altar, if you remember your brother or sister has something against you, just leave the gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown in prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard it said, 'You shall not commit adultery,' but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said that whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard it said that by those of ancient times, that you shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is the footstool of Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white and another one black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one." This is the Holy Gospel. Thanks. We think. Have a seat. Holy buckets. Last week, just because we had a women's retreat last week, I was like, oh, I want to preach on this great story from the Old Testament. I didn't even look at what the gospel was. I should have looked ahead for this weekend. So Jesus is on a roll now. I don't know if you picked this up, but it's a section of scripture known as the Sermon on the Mount. It's 3 chapters long, and today's text is bringing round the end of the 1st chapter. So, I mean, if Jesus were a black preacher in a Baptist church, he'd just be getting warmed up, right? So, I've just read for you 4 of the 6 vignettes that bring this chapter to a close. The first one is a teaching on anger. The second one is a teaching on adultery. The third one is a teaching on divorce. And the fourth one is on oath-taking. Oh, yay. But strangely, our selected reading leaves out the last 2 vignettes that's clearly in this section of 6. So I'm just going to quick rumble through them for you so we can look at the thing as a whole. "You have heard it said, 'An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth,' but I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also a 2nd mile. Give everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you." Got it? Okay, last one. "You have heard it said that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the non-Jews do the same?" And then this is how he ends these 6 vignettes and the end of chapter 5. "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Ah, perfection. So let me see if we got this straight. In regards to anger, adultery, divorce, keeping your word, retaliation, and relationship with our enemies, we are to be perfect. Okay, you're good. Go home. Okay, but that would be a pretty terrible sermon, am I right? That'd be an awful sermon. I mean, I thought this Jesus guy was about love and forgiveness and all that crap about mercy, right? This is a lot to take in, so let's just hold this for a minute and wonder where the preacher is going to go with it. So, rules. Can't live with them, can't live without them. If anybody know me, I don't really like them. I just prefer to bend them. But if we're going to give Jesus the benefit of the doubt, which I've actually found to be a pretty good choice on our parts. Usually it goes well for us when we give Jesus the benefit of the doubt, then he seems to be holding people to something deeper than mere rule following. Okay, I can't believe I'm going to tell you this story, but here we go. Take, for example, when I was a brand new pastor. I was like just fresh out of seminary. I hadn't even been in the church for a year, and I was asked to take the youth to the National Youth Gathering. And there were like 30 of them, most of whom I did not have a decent relation with, especially these three senior girls whose reputation preceded them, especially their ringleader. Well, I'm not dumb. We were in a really big city. I was responsible for a large group. I didn't trust these girls. They were callous to me on a good day, so I decided I would put myself in their hotel room. So the three senior girls and yours truly. So I'm not going to go into the antics of how they treated me while we were rooming together. Disrespect doesn't even come close. But for the whole group, as we went to the National Youth Gathering together, we had some rules. The kind of rules that you gotta do or you go home kind of rules, right? One of them was that we gathered as a group, we gathered as a community every day. At the end of the day, we would do highs and lows and do a little bit of a devotion, right? So that was one rule you had to do or you go home. The other one was that you're in your rooms by 11 p.m. If you're out past 11 p.m., then we're going to send you on the next plane home, and your parents are going to pay for it. Okay, little side note. I'm a deep sleeper. The girls had followed the be in the room by 11 p.m. rule just fine. After being up late and ordering their pizza, to which I was not invited to partake, and it was a large pizza. They didn't even eat it all. We all went to sleep, because it takes me a while to fall asleep, so I know that they were all sleeping. When I awoke the next morning, like around 7 a.m., they were gone. And at evening group gathering, the thing that we're required to do, otherwise you go home, we started to do highs and lows. What was the high point of your day? What was the low point of your day? And the ringleader's high point of her day, she literally said this, getting with my guy in the hot tub this morning. I was like, So that's where they were this morning when I woke up at 7 a.m. They had gone to a totally different hotel without an adult, and now they were bragging about it in front of the whole group to my face. One could argue they followed the rules. They were in bed, in the room, by 11 p.m., and they were at the group sharing and participating fully. God bless her soul. But anyone could see that they had fallen way short of righteous living, right? They had put themselves in danger, and they mocked the people who were caring for them. Now, I would describe that as not being perfect, even though they had followed the rules perfectly, right? So back to Jesus. You have heard it said, he says, meaning you have heard the law and the rules, these things that we live by as a faithful people. You've heard that these things say, but then he kicks it up several notches, right? He says, but I say, and then he inserts this invitation to something that is way more difficult than what the actual law itself says. And the law by itself is pretty hard to live by if you've ever tried. Now, one scholar says that Jesus is inviting us to a higher righteousness. But I say He's calling us to a broader and deeper right relatedness. The rules, the law, they point us in a direction. And for many of us, this is simply a challenge to find a loophole, right? The most base way of fulfilling those rules before we go on our way unchanged by what they have to teach us. But Jesus' challenge is that we embody this thing, this law, these rules fully, that we kick it up several notches. Remember, he did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And in these six vignettes, scholar Anna Case Winters notes here that Jesus is, he's not trying to make a more legalistic, larger sum of prescriptions that we're now having to follow, like lopping off our hand if it causes us to sin. I hope you realize he wasn't being literal there. And he's also not abolishing this. He's not kicking the law to the curb, saying this isn't important. We're not off the hook. What she thinks is that this is his way of offering an interpretive key to the law so that we get to the heart of the thing, not just looking at the surface of the laws themselves, but really digging down deep to what is the resonating core of these things. Ultimately, when we live into right relatedness that is both deep and wide, we embody the law and not just skirt across the top. She argues, then we are offering a radical gift of ourself to God and to others, both through our inner thoughts and our outer actions. I mean, this is a big ask, so I want to go back to that word perfect. I don't know if any of you else are first children, or even if not first children, perfectionists, those people that are just like, and when you recognize that you've not done it perfectly, you're undone by it. If Jesus' closing challenge to us in this section is to be perfect in all these things, I'm sorry, guys, but I'm already out. I have already utterly failed. But I believe that there is something that's been lost in translation here. Case Winters points out that this word perfect, try and erase that from your heads. What it's actually saying, the connotation is this idea of completeness or wholeness. To be perfect in this sense is to be wholehearted in love. Be wholehearted in love as our God is wholehearted in love for us and the fullness of creation. The law is not about doing it right. It's not about me doing it right, about you doing it right. I don't even think Jesus cares. Yes, you heard me say that. It's about us living into relationship with our whole hearts, broad and deep. And I'll tell you something. If you are expecting perfection in all this, expect to fail. And if you plan on being times where you can just be the best person and it's all going to go well, I have to let you know there will be times when you think you have done your best and you will still hurt one who is near and dear to you. You will learn that when you've done all that you can do, it is still not enough. And when following all the rules perfectly actually only gets you into trouble. And that even our best efforts can still cause pain. When we live into right relatedness, when we're really doing it well, things get messy. And we still have to lean in. That's what being right related is. It's not about perfection. It's about staying present to one another. Because Jesus, he is, in fact, about love and forgiveness and mercy. And that's the invitation for us to be those things as well. May we find the courage and the resilience and the support that we need to keep leaning in. Because things like ending racism, combating climate change, and simply loving the people around us, these things depend on our efforts, no matter how imperfect they may be, to embody these teachings. to be as right related as we can be in all its messiness, an essence to love. May we find ways to do this with and for each other. Amen.
If you have a sheet of paper, that's wonderful, or if you can see one. If there's several people in a row without one, raise your hand.
There's still a bunch on the table. So.
Oh, well, there we go. She's going to bring some more in. And does anybody need one? No, okay. Anybody need one? So this is With All Your Heart. You have the chorus. And then there's two verses. I'll sing those, and that'll be it. It'll be great. Trusting that God hears us, let us pray for this gathered community, for the world, and for all who are in need. Each petition I will end with the words, "Hear us, O God," and you're invited to respond, "Your mercy is great." Shepherding God, you protect and guide us with your word.
Lead us into an ever closer relationship with you that we might better know your commandments and then be led out into difficult situations with resolve and resilience to do what is right. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of the cosmos, heaven and earth, bear witness to the splendor of all that you have created. Bless our efforts to tune into the ground, the trees, the waterways and skies, and to fight for what is needed for abundant life. Restore synergy between humankind and the natural world, that we may live in harmony with all that you have made. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of peace, you show solidarity with all who suffer. Bring an end to violence, war, discrimination, racism, and all other forms of deadly hate so that we may experience your love through the power of justice, which is the breadth and depth of being in right relationship with one another. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of hope, you provide bountifully through many and various resources of every kind. Use our lives to alleviate global injustice and to eliminate poverty, that all may benefit from the abundant gifts that you pour out for your people and planet. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
And now confident that you are able to accomplish more than we even dare to ask, we bring these prayers before you, believing in your saving grace revealed to us through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you all.
Also,
now, before I invite you to share a word of peace, be aware if somebody is sitting down, they may just want you to smile at them and say, peace be with you. And not everybody likes to hug, so be aware of that. And if you are sick, just keep your hands behind your back and smile. Say, peace be with you, all right? Let's take a moment to share a word of peace with one another.
Praise the Lord.
With our offering. Please know that all that is gathered here this day will go to the Wenatchee area YWCA, which is helping to empower women and end racism is what their motto is, which is pretty fantastic. If you've forgotten to bring money with you, because I never bring money with me or anywhere at Home Village, know that you can find me or somebody else from staff and we'll make sure that it gets to the right place. All right, we continue with the offering and listen to the choir.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our practice and our joy, that at all times and in all places we embody thanks and praise to you, O glorious God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. Seeing the wonder of your generous spirit, we delight in your mercy and rejoice with full and satisfied hearts. And so it is that with the fullness of earth and the hosts of heaven, we join around this table, remembering that in the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body. It is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. And he gave thanks, giving it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood that is shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Our loving Jesus also taught us the words of a prayer, and again, you are invited to pray in the way that is most comfortable to you. Our Creator, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Know that all are welcome. I love that we have this incredible piece here. I know with Hal and Chuck and Peg, they've been talking about ways for us to really enter into the experience of the created world around us so that we might better be able to speak on its behalf and interact with it in ways that are healthy and life-giving for all involved. So I pray that we all notice how we are fully gathered at this table, not just as human beings, but the fullness of creation. So I'll invite communion servers to come up, and while they do that, I'll just say a little bit about how we practice here. We don't want there to be any dietary barriers between you and this meal either. So the first station that you'll go to will be a person holding gluten-free wafers. And then I will have bread, and I will break off a piece for you. Sometimes they're rather sizable, so don't be surprised. Then the next person will have the common cup, and here you can drink directly from it, or you can dip your bread in it if you want, and then eat and drink both at the same time. Otherwise, you can take a cup from Addie, and then the first pitcher here will have wine, and then the second pitcher that Addie is holding here is grape juice, if that is your preference, and then Peter will take your empty cups. So again, please all know that all are welcome to this table. We thank you for being part of this community.
Our first communion hymn is 479. 479.
Okay, Peter, can you scooch that way just a little bit? Just a little bit.
Thank you.
4, 8, 4, 4, 8, 4.
And now may the fullness of God bless you and hold you in grace. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Faithful God, you have kept your promise to us in this meal, nourishing us with the gift of salvation. Now send your servants forth in peace that we may testify to your goodness and share your hope that is in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. May Christ, wisdom and power of God and source of our life together, keep you united in mind and purpose. And the blessing of Almighty God, Creator, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you always. We turn to our closing hymn, which will be in the red hymn books, and it's hymn number 535. Because the choir has one more piece to send us out.
Choir rocks. Thank you.
Go with good courage, live out the gospel. Thanks be to God.